Today, as we continue on with the sermon series that we started last week on 1 Peter, Peter today gives us what I'll call a challenge to be different. Now, before we dig in today, I want to sort of set the stage a little bit by reminding you of the two worlds that the Bible so often refers to. It's been called the evil side versus the godly side, right? The flesh versus the spirit, the darkness versus the light, the old versus the new. I even have a buddy who likes to call it the wicked versus the wonder. I like that one. But no matter what you call it, the Bible refers to these things all the way through Scripture. There's something very real happening with these two different entities, these two different realities in our world today. Now, let me see if I can kind of flesh this out a little bit. A few years ago, my buddy was doing a youth ministry trip, and he had five junior high boys in a Toyota 4Runner, right? And they were out in the middle of the desert in Palm Springs. Out of nowhere, he says, this thought came into my mind. He thought, if I were to kill these guys, this is where I'd bury them. Now, I start asking you, where did that come from? Some of you are saying it came from the fact that he was with five junior high boys. Okay, you can make that case. But the reality is that there's just that wickedness that is constantly around us. And it's just part of the nature that we live in. We may live in the spirit, absolutely, because of Jesus, but there's that wicked nature that continues to war against us. It's always seeming like it's present. Now, I've often thought, wouldn't it be great if that when we come to in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that he would just take us right away into heaven? I mean, think about that. If that were to happen, we wouldn't have to live with this tension between the old and the new. But for some reason, God has decided to keep us here on this earth. He's left us on this earth to figure out how to live for him in what Philippians 2 calls an evil and perverse generation. To live at a time that is opposing to God's will. To live at a time that is anti to God. To live at a time when people are walking away from God. How is it that we can live God's way in this evil and perverse generation? I mean, that's the question. I heard about a teacher one time that actually passed up free tickets to take her entire class to see Romeo and Juliet. Teacher said she did not want to take her students there because Romeo and Juliet do not model a lifestyle of choice. That all the models that were there were heterosexual relationship. It was too normal, she said, and she wouldn't take her class to see it. Now, does that surprise me? No, unfortunately, it doesn't really anymore. Now, am I bothered by it? Absolutely, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by sin anymore, not in our world today. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:19 that we belong to God, but that the evil one controls this world around us. This world system lies in the lap of the evil one who nurtures and drives this way of thinking. He cultivates evil and motivates it and gives it nourishment again and again and again. The evilness is designed to appeal to us, right? Too. That's why it works, to appeal to our fleshly desires, to make life easier, to make life more comfortable, and tempting us to go the way of the old. Basically, the whole purpose of it is to seduce us away from God. But it is never what it seems. It is always a lie because it is against God's truth, and it gets us into trouble over and over and over again. Okay, so there's the background I wanted to share with you, right? I wanted you to be able to hear and to recognize as we dig into what Peter says in this first chapter, where he challenges the Christians just to be different than the world around them. Because Peter does call us to be different. And in that call, he says three very specific things. And one of the first things he says is just this. He says, you have been made new. Listen to what he says in 1 Peter 1:14. Don't lazily slip back into those old grooves of evil. Doing just what you feel like doing. You didn't know any better then, but you do now. So as obedient children, let yourself be pulled into a way of life shaped by God's life, a life energetic and blazing with holiness. So what does he say? He says, don't slip into those old grooves of evil. You know better than that. I know you know better than that. As obedient children, let yourselves be pulled into a life that is shaped by God's life, energetic and blazing with holiness. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says this. If anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. In other words, you have been made new. If you have a relationship with Christ, you've been made new. So Peter takes it a step further, and he uses the word holy. Now, holiness can kind of be a scary word for a lot of people, to be honest. A friend of mine said that when he grew up in church, that's all he heard. Holy, 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 right? But holiness has a simpler definition, and it's just this, to be set apart. Holiness is to be set apart from the ways of the world, from the ways of the flesh, from the ways of the wicked, from the ways of darkness. And that's what Peter is saying. You've been made new. Now be holy. Be set apart. I have an example of that. I have another buddy who likes to run on dirt. He doesn't like to run on pavement. I'm not sure why. He says it hurts more. But he likes to run on dirt. Me? No. I like to run in the refrigerator. Anyway, back to my friend. Because of this preference that he has, he will actually drive his car like 5 miles away where there's a dirt trail, a horse trail, where he can do his running. There's a nice cement trail right by his house that he could run on anytime he wants, but he doesn't like to run on cement. So anyways, while he was running one time on this trail, he saw some horse tracks that had dug really deeply into the dirt, which showed that it was wet. And he thought, oh, no, I'll be okay. So as he's running, his shoes are picking up mud and his feet are getting heavier and heavier. And he's trying to shake off all the dirt, right? But it's not shaking off. His legs are getting sore. And so he starts looking at his watch. He's been running for 20 minutes and he should be way further, he thought. The mud had slowed him down so much. So he decided to turn around and run back to his car. He wiped his feet off in the grass. He wiped his feet off before he got in the car. He drove home, got out of the car, wiped his feet off again because he knew his wife would be mad if he didn't get it all off. And then he walked into his house. He was there about 2 minutes and his wife says, look at the mess all over the house. You've got dirt all over the house. And sure enough, in the waffle sections of his shoes was mud and dirt. For the next hour, he said, he was cleaning the car and he was cleaning the house and the carpet, his shoes, all the time thinking, oh, I should have just run on the cement. It might have hurt a little bit more, but it wouldn't have had all of these problems. It would have been so much better, he said. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly what being set apart means. God says, you know, you've got these two paths in front of you. You can run in the dirt or you can run in the direction that I've given you, God says. Now, typically, I think we choose the dirt of life because, it seems more easy. It's more comfortable. But the effects of not running God's way, not living God's way, always have a lot more consequences. It's always a lot more painful. We don't get as far. Our relationships aren't as good. God says, you've been made new. Here's the way. Run this way, he says. Be set apart from the old. He's saying, choose to be different. And then he goes on and he says something else. He says this, prepare yourself for a different kind of life. Peter's just saying here that this isn't the time to take it easy in life, to kick back. He's saying you are a new creation and as such, you have a new enemy to deal with. I'll give you an example of that. Some students in high school invited a buddy of mine to play roller hockey with them one time. And he said, I thought, you know, how hard could it be? I grew up on skates, you know, I went to the roller rink all the time, he says. That's dating him, right? But these new roller blades, they have 4 wheels, but they're all in a row, right? They're all in a line. It's just different. So he says, I get on these skates and I'm falling all over the place. These 14-year-old kids are coming up, hit checking me, and I'm falling all over the place. And then they come by and they're dancing around me, he says, laughing at me. No grace, no mercy whatsoever. I'm laying on the ground. I'm swinging my stick, you know, trying to hit them. And, you know, you laugh at that. But you know, that's what the evil one is doing to those who are not prepared, to those who are falling by the wayside, those who haven't prepared for a new life. He's circling all around us with no grace, no mercy, no kindness. And he's laughing as we fall away, as we give into the temptation of this old, of the old, of this world. We've been made new, Peter says. Now prepare yourselves for a different life. Why? Well, when you're new again, you're dealing with a new enemy. Satan all of a sudden is a lot more interested in bringing you down. And so if you ever wonder why you should prepare yourself, in verse 18 and 19 of 1 Peter, he says this, God paid a ransom to save you from the impossible road to heaven which your fathers tried to take. And their ransom was not paid by mere gold or silver, as you very well know, but he paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Jesus, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, which just leads us to Peter's last point. We need to prepare for a new life because God paid a price for you. A few years ago, there was a lot of damage in Japan, both because of the earthquake they had, but then the tsunami hit. It was horrible. And if you remember, there was this image on the news of a freeway where the middle section was just missing. It just dropped out. And you could drive up to that freeway, But there come to a point, right, where you had to stop. You couldn't go any further because there was no more road. You couldn't drive your car to the other side. You couldn't jump, skateboard, rollerblade to the other side, nothing. I started thinking about that. And the same thing is true with our relationship with God. You might be going in the right direction, on the right path, but there was a separation that existed before Jesus came. God was on the other side and we needed to be reconciled to him. So God sent us Jesus. And Jesus came down and he built that bridge. And Jesus built that bridge from one side to the other. And that bridge was made out of his cross. And that cross, when Jesus died in our place, gave us access to a relationship with God for the first time again. You've been made new, he says. So he says, prepare for a different life. God paid the price to make this happen. It wasn't out of silver or gold. It was out of his blood. Jesus died for you. That's the motivation. And so if you don't take anything else away today, remember that. You prepare for a new life because Jesus paid a price for you. He shed his blood so that we might live forever. Peter's saying this, God paid a price for you. You are now different as a result. Now begin acting like it. When I was writing this, I started to think about Peter in his earlier years when he was walking with Jesus. You know, Peter was such a big mouth, clumsy fisherman. And Jesus kind of walks into his life and he says, you know, Peter, I'm going to call you Petros, the rock. And you watch Peter's life really from then on just change little bit by little bit. You watch how instrumental he was in the book of Acts with the early church, how he would just really lit that region up for Jesus. The people were coming to faith everywhere. He was also a very real and very human sort of individual, wasn't he? Because scripture also says that he denied Jesus three times. And you know what? When I read that story, weirdly, that gives me hope. Because not only was Peter inspired by God when he was writing these words, but he was also a fellow journeyman. You know, somebody who walked where we walk. Somebody that knew what it was like to live in that tension between the old and the new. And I'll tell you what, that gives me hope. He's saying, you've been born again, made new. Begin to act like it. You live by a different set of rules now, a whole new game when you live God's way. It's like playing a whole new game. The military was doing a war game exercise, and the people were split into side A and side B. And they weren't using real guns or knives or anything like that. But if you came up on somebody and caught them off guard, you could say, bang, bang. And that means that you shot them. If you were in a battle and you said, stab, stab, it means that you stabbed them. If you saw them and they didn't see you, you could say, lob, lob. And that would mean that you're, you know, throwing a hand grenade at them and you blew them up. Somebody from side B, though, snuck up on somebody from side A, and he said, bang, bang. Person A turns around and starts walking right at the guy, right at the person from side B. Person B says, bang, bang, still walking right at him. Stab, stab, still walking right at him. Lob, lob. Person B, you're not playing the game right. Person A said, rumble, rumble, I'm a tank. When you're on God's team, when you're living a different kind of life, when you're set apart pursuing holiness, the evil one's game does not affect you anymore. Why? Because you've been forgiven. And so for the followers of Jesus, God has changed the rules. For he says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. In other words, there's hope for those of us that are left here as his children. There's hope in finding forgiveness for your past. There's hope in finding strength for your present. And there's absolutely hope in finding your future secured forever in the name of Jesus. Peter says, because of that hope, guys, choose to be different. Let us pray. God, you're an amazing God, and we love you so much. And we know this road of discipleship can be hard sometimes, and we fail, it seems, a bunch. But because of Jesus, the game has changed. Because of Jesus, every time we fall, there is now forgiveness in Christ. Every time we fall, there is now second chances and new beginnings to start over. Every time we fall, we know we have a God now that lifts us up, brushes us off, and puts us back in the game. Father, because of Jesus, we always have hope. And my friends, I want you to take that hope today. Take it into your relationships and take it into your life and take it when you go into the doctor's office and take it when you're watching the news. And remember, because of Jesus, there's hope. So choose to be different. And that's my prayer today in the name of Jesus. And again, everybody said, amen. Guys, once again, go with this blessing today. May our Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious always unto you. And may he look upon you now with his favor and grant you forever his peace. Guys, once again, go in that peace today and serve your Lord always with joy. Amen. Amen.